as long as it's recording, that's really all we need. So it's 6:30. We'll go ahead and get started. Welcome everybody to Bizarro Planning Commission for October 13th, 2020. Before we jump into the agenda, I didn't identify a planning commissioner who would lead us in the pledge. Do I have a volunteer? I need a planning commissioner who will offer to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. Okay, Commissioner Van Langeveld, go ahead.
Stand. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Hey, Ted, or Sherry. Are we back?
I am back. I must have hit something wrong. So,
could I have a question about the pledge?
Yes.
Could I get my Girl Scout troop to come log in? They can take turns and just log in.
I think that's fine, personally. What does the rest of the commission think?
Great.
Does the other commissioners have an opinion on this?
Anything we can do to make it like a normal, if it was a normal meeting and they were there, we would invite them to do it.
Agreed.
So I'd encourage it.
Great, I can do that. Do you want me to tell you in advance, or can they just show up and be here? They'll probably leave right after.
Even a 5 minute, you know, before the meeting kind of thing, just so that.
Sure. Okay, great, thanks.
That's great. Okay, now, before we get into the regular agenda, I'd like to just read a proclamation that was passed by the City Council. Whereas the Planning Commission Chair has determined that conducting public meetings of the Planning Commission with an anchor location where the public could attend in person presents a substantial risk to the health and safety of those who may be present at that location based upon the current COVID-19 pandemic and a limited staff support to properly ensure physical distancing and sufficient disinfection for attendees and staff. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Planning Commission shall hold meetings for the month of October 2020 by electronic means only and will not include an anchor location where the public could attend in person. So that is why we are meeting remotely, for those good reasons. Now, let's go into our agenda. Our first item is public comments unrelated to the There is no public hearing, so if you have any comments that you want to share with the Planning Commission, this is your opportunity to do so, and just state your name and where you're from before your comment or question.
If there aren't any public comments, I would like to just take a second to introduce Mackenzie Bennett. She is on the call tonight, and she is our new planning technician.
Oh, great. Wonderful.
For 2 weeks, and we're so happy to have her. She's great, and I think you guys are going to really like her.
Oh, that's great. Great to meet you. Mackenzie, give me your last name again.
My name's Mackenzie Bennett.
Okay, pardon me. Mr. Short-Term Memory here. Would you like to take just a minute and tell us a little bit about your background?
Oh, sure. I just graduated this August from the University of Utah with a degree in urban ecology. Spent the last year at Salt Lake County's Office of Regional Development in their planning department. And then I've got like 5 years experience in construction. So I'm excited to be here.
Oh, that is great. All right. Well, great to have you with the city, and we all look forward to getting to know you better through the commission.
You guys too.
Okay. I didn't hear any public comments, so we will move on now to our first and really only main regular agenda item, which is a consideration of a P district rezone and preliminary plat approval for North Salt Lake City Center Phase 2 at 71 North Highway 89. And I know that Taylor Spendlove with Brighton is here today. And Sherry, are you introducing this item?
Yes. So this is the site. This aerial map shows you the existing. Can you see my cursor?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Actually, I think I'll do the laser pointer. Okay. So now can you see the laser pointer?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just getting fancy here. This is the existing NSL City Center. This is the property directly to the north where phase two will go. So if you will recall, this property is 1.55 acres. It's currently the site of the Chaparral business. They will be adding the 1.55 acres to the existing 3.6 acre city center project. The amended general development plan for city center was approved by the city council on August 18th, 2020. In conjunction with the P district rezone request, the amended development agreement will be included with the preliminary plat approval for the project. Couple of things. Let me go forward here. Okay, so this is the plat, and I want to just skip to the we didn't include that. I forgot. Okay. During the review of the amended general development plan, the Planning Commission had asked the applicant to consider a site plan modification that would front more units onto a common green space. The developer did consider that option, and I included that in your packet, but would like to continue with the proposed layout. He stated that this layout offers more units that have full driveways for parking. There would have been a reduction of 8 parking stalls in the alternative layout, and the building and massing of the market and building massing and marketability of the project are better for this one, where the more units have the semi-private backyards. I also attached the developer memo, and he may have additional comments for you if you have some questions about that. Amendments to the plan included some red lines from our last meeting, which corrected some street trees that needed to be approved along Highway 89 that were not of the correct species. The addition of these two pedestrian walkways into the open space for the Northtown Station condominiums. And I'm going to show you that on the next drawing. So this is the plan for improvements and shared detention in that area. There'll be some additional landscaping. The white vinyl fence that's in there now will be removed, except for along this border where there are single family homes. But this area right here will be opened up with a decorative metal fence, as well as a decorative metal fence along this one. So you'll be able to see that open space, and it'll become an open space landscape feature for both of the two developments, as well as have some improved landscaping and improved maintenance. Over the past few years, the maintenance of the landscaping that's within that area for Northtown Station has been maybe not as cared for as it could be, or has become run down, but they're going to make some improvements to that, including a small dog park area and access to this walking path around it, as well as the tennis courts within there. So the architecture and all of the original terms of the approved development agreement are in place for this phase two. The DRC reviewed the preliminary plat for compliance with the applicable standards, and engineering department just had a couple of small red lines that needed to be corrected prior to final plat. And so the DRC did make a favorable recommendation for the Planning Commission to approve to recommend approval of the P District rezone and the amended development agreement, as well as the preliminary plat for phase two of NSL City Center by Brighton Development. I've included in your packet a draft of the amended development agreement that will have, I'll obviously still have to insert the plans for the general development plan, as well as the updated landscape plans and updated site plans. But all of the architectural standards, exhibits, and the land use standards will remain the same as presently constituted in the development agreement for NSL City Center. And with that, I'll turn it back to you for any discussion or consideration.
Sherry, what's the difference in the dog park, that central little open space wedge between the two options that were considered?
So you mean they were going to put a fenced in dog space area here?
You cannot be naked in here.
Can you mute that person, Sherry?
I'm not.
Can you mute that person?
Yes, I think they muted. I don't know who that was.
He walked on me.
Or maybe not.
Okay. All right, go ahead.
Everyone's muted. So they had originally wanted to put the dog park area here. They didn't, because they hadn't reached the agreement here with Northtown Station. So now that they've reached the agreement with Northtown Station, the dog park area, the little fenced in area for taking dogs, will be located here. And this will just be regular landscaping. So if I can go back.
Okay. All right, that's fine. So just give me the, I'm just trying to assess differences. And so if the landscaped area, what is the difference between those two options? The option that they are asking for and the option that we asked them to explore, or that we are exploring.
The option that they that you had asked them to explore was to take this area, would have become much longer.
What's the difference in size?
As far as square footage?
Sure. Yep.
It probably would have been about double of what this space was. I'll have to look at the map that I put in your packet. Yeah, it about doubled that and consolidated some of this other landscaping that would have been used, or that is used in this plan, for the backyards here. So it's really only a couple thousand square feet. But now this will just be a regular open space, and they'll use the dog park area will be in the Northtown Station.
Okay. Any initial questions for Sherry before we turn to the applicant? And obviously we'll come back.
I can come back. I'm just wondering, along the lines of what you were talking about, Ted, is would this P district fit in our current code that's in the process of being implemented? And are there large differences between those? Just to pay attention. I would like to review and pay attention to those.
It will fit in with the current P district, with the form-based code that we're drafting, yes, as well as with the draft subdivision ordinances, where we wanted the 15-foot perimeter and those things that we talked about, the separations of the buildings for walkways and appropriate landscaping and building separations. So it does meet all of those standards.
Okay, let's turn to the applicant and see if you'd like to add anything into the conversation, Mr. Spendlow.
Hey, thanks for listening to us tonight. And So when we heard your guys' comments from the original meeting, we did go back and review it. I took the plan. I forwarded it to Sherry, first of all, to make sure it was what we all understood. And then I took it to our sales agents. So the building that we're taking out from phase one to make this phase work had the private backyards. And those were very desirable for people. They had just another kind of private backyard space that they could let their dog out or something without having to be out there with them. And so we we considered all the options from all the feedback that we received, and we felt like it made more sense to go back to this original layout. It also going with the other option. So the other option that I think it was included in my memo. It was the same amount of units as what we're proposing, but it did have 9 less parking spaces as well. And so considering all the factors, this made the most sense for us from a layout standpoint and a marketability standpoint. The other thing that I want to just clarify, so we are still working with the HOA with the detention basin. They're all very optimistic about it. They're just wanting to give every resident an opportunity to weigh in. And so,
can you back up and just remind us what the issue is with the detention basin?
Yeah. So right now, so we actually had approached the HOA when we were doing phase one to see if we could enlarge the detention basin and put our and discharge our stormwater through that system, and then improve the area for the use of our tenants as well as our residents as well as their residents, and they weren't at the time weren't ready to do that. We again reached out to them for this phase and asked them again if that was of any interest. The fences are need some work, and the landscaping is basically dead back there, and so we thought it could be a good improvement, and the board was very enthusiastic to go to discuss us taking over maintenance of the property, as in our HOA taking over maintenance of the property, and improving it. So Brighton Homes would go in and improve that space for the HOA, re-landscaping it, installing additional trees, installing some covered sitting picnic areas, installing a dog park, and we would the City Center HOA would maintain that through an agreement and an easement, an access easement. That in turn both HOAs could use. So they're basically providing the land and we're providing the improvements and the maintenance. And so we wanted to show you this. This isn't necessarily part of the approval for what we're asking for tonight, because if we can't use them, then the detention we can resolve by going underground, which will be resolved before final plat approval and final site plan approval. But our hope is that this all, it's very, very likely that this happens. So.
Okay. Thanks, Mr. Spendlove. Anything else to add?
I don't have anything else unless you have some questions for me. I'm here to answer them. So.
All right. Well, let's open it up for any questions or conversation as we deliberate about what we want to do as a commission. Taylor, Sherry, I've quoted or paraphrased something saying that the massing was better.
Well,
what does that mean?
So if you can, and obviously, so when we were looking at laying it out in the way that you, Commissioner Knowlton, had recommended. What ended up happening is if you see those two buildings in the middle, as you head north, they start pinching as you add more units, and so the buildings get very close together as you head north, front to front, but it also kind of just creates a tighter space. And so the massing itself, like if you were in the space, it would just feel a lot more massive. But also we were trying to see if we could retain the same amount of units. And so the buildings became very long. And as you, as we did that again, that pinch, as you got to that pinch point, it just, it was very, it seemed like it'd be very uncomfortable being in there as you head north. And so that's what I meant. You know, the building on Highway 89 is a very large building, but you're not dealing with a building, you know, 40, 30 feet in front of it. You have the expanse of Highway 89 that makes it feel more open. And so that's what I meant by massing.
Okay.
And Sherry, going back to your form-based code changes, as we went through the general development plan, this separation between the buildings, as you can see, like where the on the east side or the west side, where the existing building and the new building, she had me intentionally spread those apart further than what we had done on the previous phase to kind of help with that same idea, how you feel within that space.
Yeah, especially where those are likely to be pedestrian walkways into this open space, that becomes really important. So when Kate and I went and did the survey and we looked at all of the different townhome developments, that was something that we noticed when we were in the spaces where you were walking between two buildings as a pedestrian, say something like this, that some of the developments we've had in the past have been a little too narrow and you felt like you were in a tunnel. And if those can be spaced just a little bit, even 5-10 feet further apart, that really makes for a more pleasant walkway. You have the walkway and then you have enough area on each side of the walkway for ample landscaping, and it just feels more comfortable. It opens up the views to this open space once that's that deal is done. And that was the other reason why I preferred this layout, was just having this hammerhead turnaround here with the pedestrian walkway kind of opens up the view to that other amenity that this development will use. And in the other layout, when these units are extended in this same direction and then adding units onto each one of this, it just felt very confined to me, and it doesn't give a view into those other open spaces. So that's why I preferred it. It's not right or wrong either way. It's just that was my feeling too.
Yeah. Okay. Understood. I would just as a preliminary comment, I want to, although we don't want to create an issue with the applicant of asking for multiple iterations, I just want to note that there's more than two options here. We have this option and we have the other option, but there are permutations that we could consider. So I don't want it to necessarily be seen as, well, you pick one candidate or the other candidate. Well, we can actually do some tweaking if we feel like it. That said, what are your thoughts about the trade-offs and the issues, parking, landscaping, views, massing, separation between buildings, or any other issues that you have in your head?
Kind of review. I know that there is part of the design review process includes the fire department reviewing the plans. But when I look over this, I still feel concerned at those two outlet points. They seem a little siloed at the end. So Sherry, will you just review or remind me what that review is and tell me that everything has been reviewed and checked off?
Yes. So the purpose of these are not only to provide access to these driveways, but it's a hammerhead turnaround so that if a fire truck came in here, they could go all the way around, but they also can back up into this hammerhead and then turn back and turn around easy. So it is a requirement that they have for the turnarounds, but it's also a requirement for the access to those units. But they're not going to be a through street. It's just a hammerhead, like a cul-de-sac, but a hammerhead instead of a cul-de-sac. Does that help?
Yes, that's exactly what I was hoping for. And then would it be like a law enforcement review that would look at what if there was a need to evacuate quickly? I'm concerned people would have a hard time getting out of here with their cars. Does anyone review something like that? Are there guidelines to say, hey, they need to be able to move this many cars this quickly out of the structure?
So the police chief as well as the fire marshal are members of our development review committee, and they consider all of those things in the design as they go forward. The engineer looks at it from an engineering standpoint, and can this development provide safely two accesses? I mean, at the end of the day, this is only 80, what is the total units count? 84 units, I believe. And so it's really not a lot of units. It feels like it is, but it the two exits we have will handle that. Because even if there was especially with the circulation pattern, say if one of these units were on fire and they needed to evacuate these units wouldn't have to come this way. They could come around this way and get out down onto Center Street so that there wouldn't be an issue with getting in the way of fire trucks. On, you know, if the fire trucks were in this stage in this area, everyone would be able to have an exit over here. So that's, I mean, having the two exits really is sufficient for this size of development. And the other thing is where it's mixed use, you're not going to have where we're sharing the parking. So you're not going to have the office complex isn't going to be occupied in the evening hours when the residences are more heavily occupied and vice versa. So most people go to work during the day, and that's when the employees for the office building will be at the site. And so it balances, basically, is what I'm saying.
And then currently from those two exit points, there is unrestricted traffic flow, meaning that cars can turn either right or left as they exit right now, as of right now, right?
As of right now, yes. If we were to see accidents happen at this intersection or near accidents, then that's when our safety committee would meet and we would decide if restrictions needed to be made and said, you know, right turn out only onto Center Street, things like that. That would come into play then.
Thank you.
Other questions or comments? Well, there's a basic question of whether you're comfortable with what is being proposed, or if you have any suggested modifications to what is being proposed. That's the very basic question on the table. And at the risk of saying something really super rudimentary, you know, they're asking for a zoning change. And so, you know, we can look out for the things that we think would make the city better. At this time, in ways that we can't always do when we're dealing with an application that is coming in under existing zoning.
Sherry, could you give me a reminder about why the P district for the whole area? What is it that's different from the existing zoning that we want?
So the existing zoning that is on the property right now is highway commercial. And a few years ago, as we were moving into begin work on the form-based code, the CH district allowed for multifamily housing in that zone without any codified density or other restrictions on that type of multifamily housing. And so what we did is we amended the CH zone so that anyone who wanted to have a residential development within our town center, which is basically our CH zone, that they would be required to do a zone change to a P district so that we could then negotiate the architecture and materials, the layout and style and density as part of a zone change, rather than blanketly saying everything in the CH zone should be 12 units per acre or 20 units per acre. Then we could look at each project on its own merits, on its proximity to the bus rapid transit system, its proximity to other services, as well as the downtown district for the town center. So that's why we have been using the P district as a tool until we have the form-based code adopted.
Thank you for the reminder. It feels like it's been forever.
It has been forever. That's 2020 now. It's just make everything seem much longer.
You're welcome to talk things out. You can talk about what you're thinking about. If somebody cares to instead make a motion, that's your prerogative. So I think the question that we should be asking ourselves is, am I prepared to vote affirmatively on what's in front of me? And if not, I need to state what that issue is. So do you want to do a straw poll and see who is comfortable with what's in front of them? Okay, this will be interesting to see how we do a straw poll. And I guess just do an old-fashioned raise your hand. And by the way, I'll do three options. I'm comfortable, I'm not comfortable, I'm still making up my mind. Third option, okay? All right? I'm comfortable. Raise your hand. And Steve, you have your hand up? Okay. All right. And I'm not comfortable. Raise your hand. And I'm still making up my mind. Raise your hand. All right, so I think that's pretty clear, and as such, if one of you would like to make a motion, you're welcome to do so. You would always be welcome to do so anyway. Okay, Commissioner Garn, go ahead.
I move that the Planning Commission recommend approval to the City Council the proposed P District rezone at 71 North Highway 89 and amendment development agreement North Salt Lake City Center with the following conditions: engineering corrections of civil drawings prior to final plat approval.
We have a motion. Is there a second?
A second.
From Commissioner Ward. Any comments on the motion? All in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? All right, the motion carries unanimously. Okay, thanks, Mr. Spendlove. Good luck on that good project.
Yeah, thank you. Can I just make one quick comment?
I just want to let you know, I did a tour of the project with Sherry and some of the people from the Utah League of Cities and Towns, and several of the cities after that reached out to me, and I also followed them as they went to their city council meetings and watched them discuss. And several of those cities mentioned how great North Salt Lake City was with their town center master plan and what it's done to help. And I've expressed to them the same, that the city has really done a good job at providing the tools needed to do something like this.
Thank you. I appreciate that sincerely. And I'll just say, I will tell you all that my hesitation is around, I would say, relatively minor things. And if I got in a time machine and I took this master plan, this plan that we reviewed tonight, and I took it back 5 years ago, and I said, here's what you're going to be looking at the Planning Commission in 5 years, I would be so excited. I would just be ecstatic. So anyway, just like things are getting better, and that the town center is really obviously taking shape, and you know, Brighton Homes has really been a part of that. So we appreciate the work of your firm and you yourself, Taylor.
Great. Thank you guys. Have a good night.
All right, our next item is the report on City Council actions on items recommended by the Planning Commission.
So I'm just going to stop sharing for this one, because I don't have a slide for anything action. There were no Planning Commission items on the last council meeting, which was last week on the 6th. But we did raise some of the questions about getting together for a joint work session with the council. And the council, as of just last week, wanted to go back to having in-person meetings for the council. And then, subject to today, with the governor's announcement of moving back into a whatever it was, a new color or new alert system, that we couldn't meet in groups of greater than 10 people. And so I think that is going to change everything. And I'm back to square one going, okay, we have to figure out how to do a joint work session with the Planning Commission and City Council electronically. So we are working on that for you. But I just wanted to give that update, that that's where they were. And then also 2 weeks ago on the 30th of September, I presented, and I believe some of you were on the call, to the North Point Community Council, an update on the annexation proposal that's being made from Salt Lake County to North Salt Lake. And I think that was pretty well received. I think it was helpful for all of the people to see that we're only at like step two of like 30 steps. And we also have started a web page on our city website that will address and keep people updated about the process for the annexation plan update, as well as any annexation actions as they move forward. So I wanted to make you aware of that. If anybody receives questions about that, they can go to the community development website or North Salt Lake website, and then go to the community development page, and there's a link to a page for the annexation policy update where we'll post updated studies as they become available, which they're not available yet because the consultant doesn't want to release data that hasn't been analyzed and doesn't want to release it until it's been fully analyzed, when they've collected all the data from all of the different sources. And then we'll be scheduling, once we get that to that point, then we'll be scheduling meetings with the Planning Commission, where you'll have a couple of public hearings, or you have a public hearing and a couple of meetings, public meetings, to discuss with the public the merits of the study and the merits of changing the annexation policy declaration to include that area. Those are the only two updates I have for you tonight.
Okay, thanks, Sherry. And Sherry, do you mind taking just a minute and tell us about the League of Cities and Towns tour? So the League of Cities and Towns conference was held. It was a Zoom remote conference, except for they still did remote, they still did tours. And one of the communities that they toured was North Salt Lake.
Yes.
I mean, Taylor just mentioned this, looking at the town center. And I think Sherry, it was you. It was it you and Kent?
Me and Allie.
Okay, great. And so how did it go? And do you have anything you want to report on that?
It went really, really well. We had about 8 people attending, members from North Ogden. We had Murray City here. I think a Centerville person from Centerville. There were a good mix of people showed up. And we just did a walking tour. We walked over to the park. We kind of showed everybody how we were working on the park plan, what we were doing for that, what houses we had bought. And then we walked through the city center project, and we got to tour the inside of the office building and see some of the nice features there. And I talked to them about the process that we went through in developing the development agreement and the things and lessons that I've learned. Like, one lesson that I learned in all of this is when we came up with the plan for the streetlights with the banners and the flower baskets, was that we needed a spec for what size the flower basket would be. The ones that have been put in this year by Brighton, they're nice, but they're a little bit small. And so
right.
I think we'd like to have those be a little bit bigger. So that's a lesson learned. Lessons learned related yep. to Rocky Mountain Power. And you can see the difference in Brighton's project when you look at where the big green boxes are, and they're on the entrance off of Center Street. When Rocky Mountain Power came in, they wanted to put those big green boxes right on the corner where the traffic signals were, right in front of the building. And because Brighton is so on top of it, they were able to head that off and negotiate with Rocky Mountain Power to get it put in a more discreet location. If you look at City's Edge down on Highway 89 as you're coming into town, you'll see the big green box in front of that really nice new 15-unit apartment building that's going in. And the day that I came to town and got to work and looked over and saw that, I just came unglued. Because when I went and looked at it, it's 2 feet into our sidewalk in our cross section. And I can't get Rocky Mountain Power to move it, because once it's there, they...
Should we start a massive shaming campaign? Shame them into moving it?
I tried so hard. I mean, they're going to do some things over there to shield it, and you won't be able to see it because they're going to put up that little wall thing to, but it basically took up the area that we had for, you know, their little amenity that they were going to have behind that screening wall. And I'm just really frustrated, and it's really taught us a lesson that we need to be on top of where Rocky Mountain Power is and not wait for them to tell us where it needs to be. We need to provide space for those things and tell them where it's going to be, rather than just let their work crews come out and put it wherever is convenient for them. And so that's a lesson that we've learned and shared with some of the other communities. And then we walked up to 130 East and talked about the lessons we learned in that, as far as it being that was really our first project where we had a development agreement for the town center, and some of the things that we did that were good and some of the things that weren't as good. I don't want to, you know, disparage that development, but there are things, lessons that I learned in reviewing, you know, paying attention to the grading plans and really understanding what it was going to look like and what the elevation to the street would be, because it's harder to understand that.
Yeah.
And the engineer's looking at it and he's going, it's fine to him, but from an aesthetic perspective on my part and on the part of the Planning Commission, City Council, I think we need to do a better job of making sure that the developers give us enough information so we really understand what the streetscape is going to look like. A lesson I learned on the tree grates. When we ordered the tree grates, the print, the proof that came through, the tree grate was black. So I assumed that the tree grate would be black. That's what we intended. We wanted them to be black and be shiny. And when they were put in, they were just raw iron and they turned orange within just a couple of weeks with the rust. And they're like, that's what they're supposed to do, the manufacturer. And I'm like, but that's not what we imagined. We wanted them to be black like the street poles. And so we had to take them all back out and have them painted in, powder coated to put back in. So just little details that you need to pay attention to. And the people that came on the tour were really very grateful and asked for me to send them some of the tools that we've used and examples of our development agreements. And they were very complimentary of everything that we've done. And it was a nice day. We all wore masks while we were walking around.
As far as Rocky Mountain goes, it was a real power struggle.
It was a power struggle. I lost that one, but I'm not going to lose the next one.
I was struggling. I was thinking, I was like, my wheels were spinning, but it just wasn't coming to me. So anyway, nice one. Thanks, Jerry. I think that's really cool that you were able to do that and those lessons learned was really helpful for me to hear and for perhaps for us all to hear. So thank you. All right. Our next item is the approval of minutes from September 22nd, 2020. Are there any modification? This is a substantial minutes. Are there any modifications to the minutes, to the draft minutes?
I have one. Line item 237, Andrea, it says that for me, put me in an unwilling position to vote to expand. And I may have said that word. I can't say that I didn't, but my intent was a hesitant position. I don't want to have in the minutes that I am unwilling definitively to do anything yes or no until a vote happens. So if you would swap out that word unwilling for something like hesitant or leery or concerned, that would better represent my intent there. Thank you.
I have a change on line 179. The second half of that, conditional use permit if there are ways to institute recourse and which it's a little grammar issue or something, but maybe we go conditional use permit if there would be opportunities for recourse for the city. If there would be opportunities for recourse for the city. That's my only change. Just looking to see if there's any other changes that anybody wants to relay. Otherwise, I'd take a motion. And as you give your motion, you could put on one of those filters that makes your face look like a cat.
I probably should refrain from voting, being as I was not here last meeting.
Okay. Thanks, Commissioner.
Motion. I move that the Planning Commission approve the meeting minutes from September 22nd, 2020 with the adjustments mentioned.
Thanks, Commissioner. Do we have a second?
Second.
All in favor, say aye. Aye. Any opposed? And the chair notes that Commissioner Kirkham abstained from the vote. That motion carries. We are at the end of our agenda. Is there anything else that we need to hit before we adjourn?
Yeah, let's wear costumes next time. Let's wear Halloween costumes next time.
Let's do it. And that's the thing. All you have to do is wear a mask.
Or can we do like a virtual background next time just for fun?
Yeah, virtual backgrounds.
Everyone can be coming at us from their Hobbit hutch or wherever.
There should be prizes, and I'm going to win because I already have my costume ready. So, and I'm Mrs. Lovett. You should see my hair when it's out there like that. It's crazy.
Oh, fun.
I know I'm going to be Obi-Wan Kenobi again.
Do it. Please work on it.
Okay, thanks everybody. We're adjourned.
Okay.
Thank you. Say, 2020 will end eventually.
So.